All right, good morning, beautiful Sunday morning at the House of Wrath. All right, I was thinking about things, and there's a movie. It's an interesting movie. Everybody seen that movie, The Martian?
Yeah.
And it's the astronaut gets stranded on Mars. They think he's dead, and they leave, and they find out he's still alive. And finally, at the end of the movie, he gets back to Earth, and he's teaching other future astronauts. He said, when you get to a situation, you just do the math until it works out. And
so that greenhouse and
everything started. Grew potatoes. And,
until one accident.
Yeah.
Took it out.
But, you know, and people don't, so a lot of times we just, other things in life we take for granted and we don't do the math. And you got to do the math to see if things add up. Like, there's a lot of people, let me backtrack a little. The devil will quite often put you in a situation where you have to choose this or you have to choose this. These are the only two choices you can choose. And quite often those two choices are both wrong. And like when it comes to like, you know, how did we get here? How did the earth, you know, how did humans end up on the earth? You know, one choice is people will go back to that Roman Catholic monk who went through the Bible and he decided the earth was 6,000 years old. And he went and did all this stuff. And then you got somebody like Darwin that says, oh, we just evolved from slime in a pond. And, well, neither one of those does the math work. The math doesn't work out on either one of those. You can easily see that there's a whole lot of things on the earth that are older than 6,000 years. It's scientifically readily, easily attainable information. And with Darwin, you know, it looks like, well, this you can evolve into this. You know, you could see sometimes like there's in two kinds of moths. And one's like bright white and one's brown, and they live on this tree. And the brown one doesn't get eaten as often as the white one. So next thing you know, there's no more white ones and there's a brown one because he blends in. And so he extrapolated from that that life organisms can evolve, which they can. But the thing is, from something like from a pool of slime to evolve complex things within just a single cell organism, the odds of something evolving from nothing, it is possible, but I have a book downstairs with a number, I forget the exact number, but it's like 10 to the like
millionth
power or something. Yeah, it's some huge exponent. And when you get, there's a scientist that studies probability will tell you once a number gets so big, it's virtually impossible to happen. Because, theoretically, you could put a monkey in front of a typewriter. The monkey could type, 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 and next thing you know, you've got a 500-page manuscript, War and Peace. It would be word for word exactly what War and Peace was. Have you ever tried just hammering stuff on a keyboard? I did this the other day, about 4 or 5 days ago. I hammered a bunch of stuff on a keyboard, and I looked, there was actually 3 or 4 words in there that were real words. And I just randomly hit all numbers, you know, letters, everything, you know, spacebar.
Right?
And well, it was one big blob of text, and there you find one little word. It's like those things where you circle the words and the like the crossword thing. Sudoku or something, or whatever it is. But anyway, you can actually get a couple words out of it. But it's virtually mathematically impossible for that monkey to type out War and Peace. He might get an occasional word like W-E, maybe Y-O-U, maybe T-H-E. He might occasionally randomly get a couple words in there that are real English words or some other language or something. But but the thing is people don't do the math. But it's interesting, you know, that before we had the Bible, I was looking up, the experts think Genesis was maybe written about 3,000 to 4,000 years ago from what we can tell. We don't know exactly, but that's a pretty good guess. But what did man do for thousands of years before he had the Bible? Well, the Word was written in the stars. I got this little thing here that shows the 12 signs of the zodiac. And each of the sub-constellations there have some tell something about the aspects of Jesus Christ's ministry. And so before they had the written Bible, they didn't have electric lights. They'd sit outside in the evening, and the elder people could show the little kids, well, see that sign Virgo there, that means he's born, Jesus Christ will be born a virgin. That sign Leo over here, that means he's coming back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, like a lion. He's going to kick some butt when he comes back. And all these signs show that. And for thousands of years, that's all they had. That was their word of God. They didn't have written Bible. And so when Moses came along and wrote Genesis, it was a major step forward. They had a written Bible that they could actually start to work with, written word of God. And so what's chapter 1, verse 1? What does it say in Genesis? It says, 6,000 years ago, Darwin evolved. No, it doesn't say any of that. Baloney. It says, in the beginning. You know, and it's the Bible's right no matter what. Was it 6,000? Was it 6 million? Was it 6 trillion? Was it 6 quadrillion? Was it 6? It doesn't say. And a lot of the Bible is very symbolic. A lot of Genesis, especially Genesis and Revelation, are very symbolic. And a lot of this stuff, and people try and nail this stuff down to very specifics. Like they say, oh, well, the original sin was this, you know, Adam smoked a pipe, corn cob pipe with corn silk in it, and he should have done tobacco, and there was some stupid thing. That come, like, people always coming up with moronic theories. And they're always wrong. And they're just putting their private interpretation in there. Like a lot of people say, well, God created the earth in 6 days. Well, was it 6 days or was it longer? It appears to be the first day he said this and the first day this. But if you look at Genesis 2:4, it said, these are the generations, plural, of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So it's like, well, one it says day, and then it says it's generations, plural. And the thing is, what we have to realize is if we don't know, we don't know.
We shouldn't blab about it if we don't know.
And a lot of people trying to show how smart they are. Well, I figured out that Genesis this, the this means this, and you know, the tree. And like it talks a lot about trees, like the tree of life and the tree. And again, the tree is symbolic. And like it represents the devil as a snake. Well, for one thing, snakes can't talk. But you ever thought about why he's represented as a snake? Well, a snake, especially a large snake, is a very powerful being, but yet he's lost a lot. He has no arms and no legs. Can you imagine if you had no arms and no legs? I mean, a lot of snakes are venomous and they get. So it's symbolic that he became the devil's represented as a snake, because he was a very powerful spiritual being who lost a lot of his spiritual power. He's still dangerous, but he lost a lot of his spiritual power when he was cast down to the earth. See, a lot of this stuff is symbolic. And also, it wasn't written for scientists. It wasn't written for people. It wasn't originally written to people of our time and our culture who have scientific understanding. We understand, you know, gravity and all these different things, you know, like Einstein, you know, E equals mc squared and all that stuff. The people back then, they didn't even know. I mean, they were taught, believe in your heart. You know, the heart doesn't believe. The heart pumps blood. You know, how much can your heart believe? Absolutely nothing. your mind believes. But they didn't understand much about the human body. I mean, they would kill animals, and they knew if you hit the heart, the animal dies. Can't live without a heart. They understood that much. But see, a lot of this stuff is symbolic. And as long as you're willing to understand that and you're not trying to nail it down to a specific date. Let's go again. Let's flip over to... before we go there, I got a couple more verses I want to show you in Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, and it's said here in verse 15, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the devil, and between thy seed and her seed. It will bruise thy head, and thou shalt, it will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what is that verse talking about? And there's a, see, these people that Moses wrote the Bible to knew these signs here in the zodiac. And there's the sign right here. If you guys maybe call, come around here and look at this, I can show it to you. So I don't have a big screen to project this. But right here, this constellation represents Jesus Christ.
I can't see it.
And his foot is on the head of the scorpion, and the scorpion's tail is there to inflict a wound on his heel. So what that's when he said that, that's a verse that those people knew from, not a verse, but a sign in the stars. When this was confirming information that had been passed down thousands of years, the word written in the stars, that most people now, we have no idea, where's the Big Dipper? You know, that's about the most they know about the stars.
With the city lights, we can't
see. A lot of people, in fact, with city lights, about all you can see is the moon, pretty much. Years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. in the summer, and it was a real hot, humid night, and it was real hazy, and literally all you could see at night was the moon. You could not see a single star. It was that bad.
It was part of the smoke from the crack pipes.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. They were smoking something. But again, that was... Genesis was a major transition from thousands of years of the word written into the stars to finally it was written in on like papyrus or paper. The original written word was took these little things, it was almost like type things, and they pushed it into clay tablets. And so when the king would make a decree, they'd push these in a clay tablet, and then people could read that. Oh, the king said, thou shalt not pick thy nose in public, you know, or whatever. So let's go to Revelation. Here's another book that's very misunderstood. And again, people are always misinterpreting it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1, and there appeared a great, King James says wonder, and if you look in your center margin, it'll say sign. So sign is a better translation. A lot of the other translations will translate this sign and not wonder. So there appeared a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed in the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And it goes on to explain a lot of the things that's going on. And we know most of us that this was the sign of Jesus Christ being born. There was the woman was the sign of Virgo, clothed in the sun. It appeared at sunset. And so the moon at her feet, there was a crescent moon at that point. I remember, I think I shared with you guys at fellowship a few years ago, we saw something like this. We were camping with the Allums one time, and we saw something very similar to this in the sky in the evening, and it was August. It was about this time of year, and because this is the time, the August and September is when you see the sign of Virgo in the sun, in the sunset. And the crown of 12 stars on her head, it talks about the other signs of the zodiac. And again, the signs of the zodiac are not meant to predict your future. And I, just to verify this, I read my horoscope this morning, and it says, do not read your horoscope today. But,
good advice.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was good advice.
Well, after the teaching, I'm going to read a fortune cookie thing that I got a while back.
Okay.
We'll do it after the fellowship.
Okay, cool. Confucius say, I'm confused.
I even get little pep talk things with cough drops.
Oh, you know, okay.
The wrapper of your cough drops,
well,
it says, you know, you're doing great today. Or it's always little two-word pep talk things.
Do your best.
Yeah.
So anyway, I remember it was September of 2017, I believe, or was it 16, that there was some Jewish scholar that went to this section of the Bible and said it's predicting that Christ will return, and I had a whole lot of friends on Facebook that actually believed it was going to happen, and they were...
2017?
Yeah, and they actually believed Christ was going to return and that this guy's prophecy... And I was going on and on about, well, I'll bet any one of you $100 that it doesn't happen, and nobody would take me up on it. But yet they still said they believed it. And then I would tell them things. I said, you got to be dumber than a box of rocks to believe this false prophecy. And there's a whole bunch of people that are no longer my friend on Facebook because I was trying to tell them, you know, don't fall for these things. And it's because you... always getting the, there's guys, there's Hal Lindsey, I think is a guy's name. He's got rich. He's wrote multiple books on the book of Revelation.
The late great planet Earth.
And yeah, and he's got a book from the 60s that predicts this. Then he's got a book from the 70s that predicts this. Another book from the 80s that predicts
he's
this.
Still on TV too.
And he's still on TV. You're right. I saw him just the other day.
What does the Word of God say about false prophets?
You know, and people keep believing them. And it's, well, it's like the guys that say, like Al Gore started telling us 35 years ago, we only got 10 years left before global warming destroys the planet. And then the 10 years goes by, and, well, we only got 12 years left now. Then that goes by, and we got 13 years left. Yeah, and it's just what, you know.
You can't add and subtract.
Yeah, you got to do the math.
Yeah, the math, yeah.
So, yeah, so my... admonition is, you know, if you don't know something in the book of Revelation and the book of Genesis, then you don't know. Some of the stuff we're not supposed to know, we'll know later on. And
it wasn't written to us. It's kind of fascinating in some areas. You know, cause you could,
it is fascinating. It. There's certain things you can nail down to certain dates, and there's certain things God does want us to know, like God is love, and in Him is He's light, and there's no darkness at all. You know, it's available to get born again and have eternal life. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There are certain things like that that are real. I mean, God wants us to know that stuff. But some of this other stuff, it's like...
I read this book by Schofield.
Yeah.
And I think it was called Prophecy Made Simple or Prophecy Made Easy. And I'm thinking, you don't know what you're going to get when you start. But he made some really good points. He said, don't get wrapped up in specific details of the future. Yeah. He said, the idea that you're going to get from the prophecy in the Bible is that, hey, that God's got it figured out, you know, and that He's got, there's promises, you know, and God is good or whatever. I mean, it was real general stuff.
Well, like the return of Christ, you know, we don't know.
We don't know when it's going
to
happen.
Is it closer today than it was yesterday?
I believe
it was. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
do the math. That can't be any other way.
I did the math. Right.
Well, it could be today or it could be 10,000 years.
We don't know. But it's going to be in God's time frame.
Yeah.
I've met people who pray for the return of Christ. It's like, why? You know, why do you pray for the return of Christ? God's got it handled. He's going to figure it out. It's going to happen. That's one of the things we don't need to pray for. There's a lot of other things we can pray for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can't change that.
No, because
right.
And also another thing too about the Jesus thing, when people pray to Jesus, they're basically trying to summon Jesus to listen to their prayer when Jesus Christ is doing stuff.
He's in us.
That God,
we have Christ
well,
in us.
But he's doing stuff that God wants him to do. He when he left, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So I would think that every time someone tries to pray to Jesus Christ, like, "You're interrupting me again from doing God's work. Come on."
Yeah.
Well, also what's really cool is that God has a unique relationship with each of us, and it's different with each of us. And we're all flawed people. We all have been taught a lot of false doctrine. We all believe, still believe some lies and stuff, but he works with us where we're at. And also another cool thing is you don't got to be real religious. It's like I saw something on Facebook, and there was something that they were talking about how, well, we just, in order to get back in God, with God, we just have, all we have to do is apologize. And it was like, well, wait a minute. It's like God really is not interested in our apology. He's interested in our fellowship. He doesn't want a bunch of people that are squabbling and afraid. Like, oh, God, please. Oh, no, I'm so terrible.
And you know, the neat thing about what you just said is that in the story of the prodigal son, or
yeah.
the forgiving father, whatever you want to call it, the minute the kid's coming back after he did all these horrendous things, and I believe it's not a true story necessarily.
Well,
but
it's not.
What do you call it?
Parable.
Parable. The minute he's, oh, I'm going to say this to my father and that to my father, I'm going to do all these things, and he goes to apologize, his father doesn't even talk about apology at all.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, well, put on the robe, give him the ring, you know, the signet ring.
And then he say, bathe him first. He didn't even say, give him a shower.
Yeah.
He's living with pigs. He doesn't even say, give him a shower and then put the robe on. He's like, covered.
Yeah. And so right there we know what God's interested in is us.
Mm-hmm.
Our fellowship with him.
Well, he just wants us to include him in our lives.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it is.
He's a parent.
Yeah.
You know?
The worst thing for a parent is when a kid shuts the parent out of their life.
And doesn't speak to him.
Yeah, because I had a little brother that did that. It shut my parents out of his life because they were no longer part of his cult that he wanted to be in. And he shut them out. And that was really painful to my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of God's sons and daughters do that to God. They shut him out of their life. And it hurts God. And what blesses God is not our apology and not our crawling back to him. It's when we include him in our life. That's what he wants.
It's quite often the screwed up kids that realize how much they need God.
Yeah.
There's people on the earth that they got it all figured out. They don't need God because they're doing it all themselves. It's some of us messed up ones that need him the most. And you know, He's there for us every step of the way. And
yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share from the Word. Do the math. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship today, and thank you for your wonderful love for us and how you just love us, and even though we're imperfect, you knew we would be imperfect because you created us. We don't have a chance of being perfect, so why should we even try? So we just include you in our life, and you're our perfection instead of trying to perfect ourselves. And Father, just thank you for being the loving God you are, and how you walk with us and talk with us, and you just love us dearly. And thank you for blessing the food that we have today. And thank you for a great week, this coming week, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.